Wow, some of these honestly are like crazy. At one point, I don't even think I made a brush out of it. Like, I just duplicated the fedora probably 100 times to spell the word fedora.
Welcome to Did I Do That? It's a podcast about making graphic design and making mistakes because it is all part of the process. I'm Sean Schumacher. That's me. And joining me today, a very special guest. He's done art direction and design work ranging from illustration to activations for brands like Adidas, Netflix, Cult Classic Magazine, Arizona Iced Tea, and more. He's previously worked for Camp Grizzly Studio here in Portland, and was also previously a student of mine, roughly during the 13th century, if my own aging process is any indication. And these days, he is a freelance designer and art director working out here in Portland, Oregon. It is Rico Macia Cepeda. Hi.
Hey, hey, how's it going?
Wow, the crowd's going wild.
That's a great intro. Thank you.
Again, my technique of visiting the wonderful website LinkedIn, my favorite social network, pays off once more. Thank you so much for being here, Rico.
Thank you for having me.
Coming out on this chilly, icy Sunday morning after we had a weird surprise snowstorm yesterday. February fakeout was very short this year in February.
I was kind of expecting it to like freeze over again and be trapped in my house for a week. I was kind of looking forward to that, to be honest, but... It's okay.
No luck. I had something prepared. I was on a wonderful website the other day, and it really brought to mind a terrifying vision of the past come into the future. And I'm talking, of course, about the second gincomening. I was on Nordstrom.com, a very respectable website. For buying clothes and mainly looking at clothes, if I'm being honest, clothes that I cannot afford.
Yeah.
And I was in the suit section. And in the suit section, I encountered something that shocked me to my core, which is, you know, these pants. They are suit pants.
Oh, my God.
And they are bell-bottomy as all hell.
Those are beautiful.
Very, very straight legs and just dragging on the floor. They're white. They're pinstriped.
It's almost like a zoot suit, really.
That's exactly what they are. They're zoot suit pants.
Yeah, but there's not, like, they're not pleated enough. They're just a little too loose. Like, you're kind of swashing around in them.
Yeah, it's not a highly professional look, I'll say. But it really set off something in my mind, which is, you know, my high school era was the peak of JNCO jeans time. And so I sort of started to wonder, like, oh, I know it's been straight legs for a while now, but is it actually JNCO jeans now? And what should I discover? What horrifying fact should I discover? But no less than Vogue magazine put out not too long ago their sort of like new fashion trends for 2023. Chief among them, JNCO Squad.
Really?
JNCOs are back.
Oh, hell yeah.
And they are... bigger than ever. Do you want to describe the image that I have just shown to you?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, so, you know, it's a handsome model staring straight into the camera, neon orange shirt.
The brightest orange that you could get. You could protect yourself if you're working on the side of a highway shirt.
That's like a pretty average casual fit. And then you pop on down to the jeans, and obviously, you know, they're just JNCOs.
Yeah, he's got, you know, 6 or 7 equal-sized persons to him hiding inside the bottoms of those jeans.
The ankle is wider than the waist.
Absolutely. I think each ankle is wider than the waist. That's the wild part.
I mean, I respect that they're making an effort to, like, really bring these back as much as they have. They were kind of a meme for a long time.
Absolutely.
They're and
very meme-y.
Yeah, like, it's cool that, you know, they're really going for it.
I'm curious how long it is going to take. You know, this happens. This is a 20-year cycle. The young people always bring back the things that the people who are my age have discarded. sometimes with reason, sometimes just because they've moved on to something else. And I'm curious how long this style trend of the world's kind of least capable jeans are going to stick around, because they are so... I actually was a JNCO jeans wearer in high school. I'm going to fess up.
Really?
I owned these terrible jeans.
Oh my God, that's so sick.
They get so nasty so fast.
Yeah, they're just like dragging on the ground all
yeah.
the time.
They turn to complete garbage on the floor. They're goo after like two or three uses, and then they're not stylish at all. Then you look like you're swaddled in trash at the foot level all the time.
Well, I feel like you have like a pretty select group of people who are actually going as far as to wear the true JNCO jeans.
Absolutely.
For the most part, it's just like wide leg, you know, like people are really rocking that right now.
Yeah.
But going this far is kind of like you're making a true fashion statement if you're going out in these.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is an effort that you have to make, because those... remind the viewers, actually, of the price that is listed on those particular
yeah.
jeans.
Well, right now you can get them for only $225,
wow.
but they originally retailed for $300.
What a discount. I mean, considering the amount of fabric in that is enough to, you know, like make a sail for an old-timing sailing ship. Like,
that's a lot of jean.
It's pretty good. That's the contents of an entire jean factory in one pair of jeans. It's great on the economic front. So that is the second Jing coming, a phrase that I'm definitely going to get started right here, right now, as the strangest fashion trend of the late 90s reemerges.
I'm shocked the Jing coming hasn't taken off yet.
Well, it's a new coinage. I don't believe there's any other entries, but I think it's not too early to say that that's going to be the word of 2022.
Wait, is this the
2023?
Is this the first use of Jing Cumming?
I think it is. I am actually going to do a Google. I would be shocked. Well, I think I said Jing Cumming, but
yeah.
Jing Cumming. It seems like I've perhaps coined a word. So Jing Cumming.
Wow.
If only it did not contain a trademarked word in the middle of my word, I'd be able to trademark it and make just $7 or $8 off of that. Very exciting. Boy, there's some strange results coming.
Yeah.
I'm not liking that.
That's a pretty broad Google search.
Yeah. Yeah. You're casting a wide net with that one. Very strange. So Rico, yeah. So what, how have you been? What's been life like as of late?
I've been good. Just went back and visited my family in Hawaii for a couple weeks, which is great to get out of the cold.
I didn't know that you grew up in Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah. I was there for, you know, my formative years. I moved there when I was like 11 and then came to Portland when I was 18. So, you know, that was really where I became a person, I think.
I mean, that's tis the season. Tis the age, I guess. Tis the season. Sure, let's go with that. That's definitely what that phrase means. But yeah, like, was that sort of where you discovered design? Like, what was your process kind of getting into this field?
Yeah, so I mean, honestly, before coming to PSU, I had no concept of what design was, although I was coming to school for graphic design.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, was it just like total crapshoot, or like somebody told you this is like art, but you can make money at it?
Yeah. I mean, so I was like a pretty artsy, active kid, I guess, you know, like I definitely like really fancied myself an artist. I was like doing graffiti on a empty wall in my backyard. Was not really getting up anywhere. But, you know, it was fun. I was like spray painting just anything I could get my hands on. My surfboard, unfortunately.
Ooh. It feels like it's going to damage the surface a bit.
No, it's fine. That's the way to do it. But yeah, I mean, I was just like drawing a lot, had always been drawing my whole life. And by the time I was graduating high school, I was just kind of like, I don't want to go to school. I don't even know what to do. Like, this is not the route for me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was trying to figure out what to do. And then people were coming around from different colleges trying to be like, apply to our school, come check it out. And I had never even thought about Portland, did not know it was a place.
Yeah, like, what, I mean, It's quite a environmental shift.
Yeah.
Like, to have sun most of the year, to have sun none of the year.
Yeah, I didn't really like understand that at the time.
In fairness, neither did I.
But basically, somebody was coming around touring and like talking about PSU, and they were just kind of like, oh, we have a really good graphic design program. And that's basically just art. I was like, oh, okay. I had done a few like multimedia classes. So I had dabbled in, it wasn't Photoshop. We used GIMP, the free software.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
A classic. Where I was just like duplicating myself into the same picture 100 times, using some built-in flares, all the good stuff. And yeah, so that was kind of like presented to me as like, you know, this is a way that you can practice art while still like kind of like gearing it towards a profession.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. That seems like a great idea. And yeah.
So you hadn't even like visited Portland before coming here for school?
No.
Wow.
I mean, I had been like up and down the West Coast because I'm originally from the Bay Area before I moved out to Hawaii.
Ah.
And so, you know, I'd come up to Washington and Oregon and just kind of like, but it was only ever during the summer. So I was like, yeah. Oh yeah, it's beautiful up there. I'd love to.
What are people talking about? It's not rainy at all.
Yeah. Well, literally nobody said that for whatever reason.
Oh.
Yeah, like Hilo is one of the rainiest towns in the U.S.
I did not realize. I guess that makes sense. It's sort of rainforest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing, though, is like it will like dump rain for like a few days or a week or whatever. And then it's, you know, nice. And it's pretty back and forth. It's like pretty evenly like 70 to 80 degrees.
Oh.
And then I moved here and was really tricked into thinking it was just going to be summer all the time. And then after the first term, it immediately turned. And it was just like frigid. But I had already had like 8 or 9 years of straight sunshine at that point. So I was like, cool, I can like layer up and be a fashion guy now.
Yeah. And you've built up enough vitamin D in your system.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need to start taking supplements right away.
No.
Like I, looking back, should have.
It might be time to hop back onto them, but
I think this is going to be a long one. So sooner better, I would say. Sooner is better. That's probably the way most people say it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get all the verbs out of my language for just no reason.
They just take up so much time.
There's such a waste. Why do people need to know what action to take? Just skip right to the nouns. Sooner better. So you're moving here. You don't know what design is quite yet. Like what is it like when you're starting out? Like,
well, I mean, that was the other thing is like, I didn't know what graphic design was. I was just like, yeah, I'm going to school for art. Here we go. I started here and I don't know if it was just that year or what, but everybody I talked to was a graphic design major. All of the classes, all the 100-level classes were, like, completely full already.
Yeah.
I was just really being an art kid in college, and then, you know, eventually got into, like, page layout. But I think
I think you were in my page layout class.
I think you were teaching it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember someone coming in on the first day in a construction outfit? And
yes.
Doing a long bit on a metaphor about pages being buildable as architecture?
I had completely forgotten about that. But yeah, no, I do. I do recall now. When I was going through my stuff yesterday, I actually found an old project that I should have saved in the folder, but it was... It was like a typographic phobia was like all the copy. And we just had to like lay out blocks of copy on like a 4x4 grid or something.
Like an iterative design project where you're moving things around and trying to create hierarchy out of like nothing.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a classic.
Yeah. Mine was.
Shout out to Ellen Lupton for,
mine was,
for that wonderful project.
Mine was very uninspired.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a lot you can do in that.
No. No, I mean, yeah, I do remember, though, being like, yeah, like, these are the only options you can come up with. And then got to class the next day and, like, I'm sure there were kids there who, like, had already had interest in design and actually had, like, stuff that was, like, laid out well. And I was just shocked. I was like, oh, there's other ways to lay out these four boxes?
I mean, that's exactly the energy that, as an instructor, you want out of that project, though. You want, and you know, like, half the class is going to just, you know, not be very proud of their results, and the other half is going to have something that they're also not proud of, but the other half. If I said enough halves here, I've definitely had too much caffeine today. But, you know, like, something that the other folks can look at and go, like, oh, like that.
Yeah. And that happened for me. I think I made that exact sound.
That, yeah, I seem to remember it. Yeah. Like, there's just a loud echoing through the hallways of, Okay, now that all the listeners are gone, what else were you doing in these early classes?
I was really having trouble getting into like any layout classes for some reason, and so the first ones that I really remember taking were, you know, the one where I got to do like some album art and a title sequence to a movie.
Yes, I think that is a class that we now call storytelling and narrative, I want to
say.
But
yeah, I mean, that was the first time where I was like, oh, this is what, like, that was when I was like starting to really understand, like, oh, this is how like design works, is like you're communicating something here. And that was also, I think, probably just the most fun for me, because it was like the easiest way to see how something you made could be used in the real world.
Yeah.
Outside of just a magazine or something, which, you know,
there's not a lot of people, yeah, you know, born post 1987 really have a lot of experience with magazines.
I wasn't like dying to like go into some editorial kind of design thing.
Yeah.
Especially at the time.
It's not necessarily the most forward-looking print.
Yeah.
I was watching Ghostbusters actually the other night, and there's a joke in Ghostbusters about print being dead.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Ooh, 1984. We've been making jokes that long. But also in these classes, you were showing me before we got on mic that there's like a project that you did in what I think would have been your first computer design class, sort of an iteration project. Do you want to tell folks about that?
Yeah. So I was taking like my first class where that was another big misconception that I had, was I was like, oh, they're going to teach me how to use all these programs here. And no, I was actually learning about the principles of design.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was in a class that was like, kind of like a overall, this is how you use Illustrator, this is how you use Photoshop, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So the project was like doing iterations on an object or illustration. It was 2010 still, I think. And so I was still coming out of my Jason Mraz era.
as was the country.
And so I decided to do a fedora as my object. And made 21 iterations of a fedora, whether that was like type illustrated out to make the shape of it, or a collage of a fedora, or photocopied, cut and scanned. Like, it was, I really went all in on the different options. And, you know, some of them were not the best. My watercolor version probably didn't need to include that one. But there were some other cool experiments in there. I had a good time.
Watercolor fedora. We should look at those.
Yeah. Can I just swing this thing over?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Wow, some of these honestly are, like, crazy. At one point, I don't even think I made a brush out of it. Like, I just duplicated the fedora probably 100 times to spell the word fedora.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, why don't you describe some of those?
Yeah. So I Rico's handed me the laptop. The folder is, of course, just called Fedoras. Because what else could you call this folder? The first one in here is actually one that I am very, very satisfied with. It is a collage of a fedora made out of hair with the sort of ransom note style, the words around it, who needs hair, which definitely is, if you were some sort of serial killer, the fedora killer, then this would be a very effective message to send. Yeah, the fedora. So this is the one that Rico was talking about, the that you've written out fedora. This almost seems like a meme. It's very like you're doing like really interesting things, I will say.
I wish I had the foresight to make it a meme, but no, that was just completely honest from the heart. Oh, this is how Photoshop works.
It's, you worked hard on it because you've got like little subtle curves to the fedoras going on, the E's connecting into the D. The R I actually like really like typographically. It's like doing this kind of thing. Yeah, that's a great one. Oh, so this is like a masking one?
Yeah. It looks like I typed out fedora in like, what is that, Cooper Black?
Rockwell, maybe?
Yeah, whatever. And then just made it a mask and stacked a bunch of fedoras behind it.
But it's like, I will say, like, you know, for them being fedoras, that's, you know, that's of course not ideal. That's certainly of its time. But like, your iterations on these are actually really good. And you're doing
Thank you.
You're doing some super neat experimental things. Like the pencil drawing is pretty cool. Like Xerox transfer. Yeah, the watercolor one does look a little wet, but it is watercolor. So what are you gonna
watercolor
do?
Watercolor I just never got. Every time I pick it up, I'm like, yeah, this will be cool. And then it's always just like, look the exact same it did when I was 10 years old.
I think it's a 10,000 hours thing. You got to put in a lot of time before you're an expert watercolorist. Of course, the Andy Warhol fedora, the four fedora array. Yeah, these are, I looking at these as an instructor, if I was your instructor in this computer graphics class, I would be looking at these and going, yeah, these are pretty good. Good job.
I mean, I think I got a good grade on it, which, you know, at the time, that really, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would say that that's honestly, for this kind of being what was probably your first real design class, like, you're showing ambition, you're showing, like, you know, engagement with the material, even if the material is, again, a fedora, which is not ideal. But you're really experimenting and not just showing the same one over and over and over again, which is unfortunately what you see a lot of when you do a project like that. That's excellent. That's excellent. So, yeah, like, what else were you doing kind of in and around this time?
Yeah, so, I mean, I was kind of doing all of these, like, fine arts classes that I really enjoyed, but was obviously, like, worried, like, oh, I need to, like, get all of my design courses out of the way to graduate.
Yeah, that's kind of important.
Yeah, and, you know, had the looming, like, sophomore portfolio review the next year, but eventually found myself in, like, a class with Megan McGinley.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, and she was great. She had like a WPA poster course where that was where I did a lot more like illustration kind of stuff. And yeah, so I kind of was just like going through all of these early courses. If I'm being completely honest, I think I probably like looking back on all these old projects kind of really struggled with like the idea of design was not really like hitting the mark.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just in retrospect that I'm like saying this now, but I just don't think I really fully had a grasp on what graphic design was and what I should have been like tailoring my work towards almost. You know, I like went through the portfolio review, did not pass the first time.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And so that was like a huge moment for me of like, oh, okay, I gotta, like, have some kind of shift here. I don't know what's going on. Went and, like, met up with Kate, who ran the program at the time, right?
And still does.
Still does.
Yeah.
And was, yeah, just like, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
Like, here's my portfolio. Can't believe I didn't pass. Was just so bummed out. And then, you know, spent the next year kind of, like, revising work that I had done, taking some more classes and, like, adjusting and, you know, working to like get it to a point where I could get through the next year. But that was like a really big learning moment for me, I think, in terms of like that has kind of followed me through into like the professional sphere.
Yeah.
Is like, oh, sometimes it's not just making something that you want to make or like you think is cool, which obviously is very important a lot of the time.
Absolutely.
But sometimes you have to tailor it towards what, I mean, in my world now, it's like what the client wants.
Yeah.
And at the time, it was kind of like the review board was the client. But yeah, I mean, that was a big learning experience for me in terms of like, oh, you can't just like make art that you like think is cool.
Yeah. And that I think that's what a lot of folks struggle with early on is like maybe not the idea of design being this kind of service based thing that you are like trying to communicate a message to an audience. And, you know, like in the case of the portfolio review, it's like the message is I have this list of skills and I'm good at these skills. Rather than just being like this thing of like pure self-expression.
But yeah, so I adjusted my original WPA posters that I had done in Meg McGinley's class to be more personal to me and rather than just be WPA posters for state parks. I made a really passive-aggressive WPA poster series about my roommates at the time who I clearly was not having a good time with.
Oh, so you've now reached the mature level of being a young adult, which is that you are not just enthused about being out on your own. You hate the people that you
Yes.
There are many problems in your living space.
What's funny is, like, when I was making these, I thought they were so funny. Like, was cackling at myself, and I'm sure I was showing these to my roommates at the time.
Oh, no!
And they were just like, ha, that's so funny. But looking
wow, what great completely fictional work that you've presented to us.
Looking at them now, I'm just
it's
like
it's weird that my name is in it.
Here, I've got a few of them. The themes are pretty pointed, I think. Here you go.
All right. So this first one is the sign of a bad roommate. It says in large text at the bottom and then kind of plastered on the side of a building. Are you constantly kept awake at night? And just this wonderful silhouette of partying people partying down inside a building not unlike the one that we have not too far from the art building. The second one, another sign of a bad roommate. Are there dirty dishes everywhere? With just a huge mound of pretty filthy looking dishes and cups and stuff like that. Third one, the sign of a bad roommate. Is all your food gone? Just light emanating from an empty fridge that seems to just have two wine bottles in it. And maybe is that a jar of mustard? Oh no, that's just a beer. Just a straight up beer. These are really good compositions, first of all.
Thank you.
It's difficult to imagine how they would not have grokked that this was definitely about.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they did, but I remember us all just being like, yeah, like that's universal. That applies to everyone. We all hate our roommates.
Yeah, who's eating all the food out of the fridge and leaving two wine bottles and a can of beer?
I'm sure what probably happened is I would talk to one of my roommates and they would assume it was about our other roommate.
Of course.
And that was just like kind of a roundabout circle.
It's always someone else. It's the somebody else's problem field.
Yeah.
To quote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Yeah, they're great posters. They look really good.
Thank you.
Good colors, good compositions, good texture. I'm always a fan of textures. Friends, if you're looking to spice up your design work and you just want to make it look nice, just add textures. Textures are what makes the world go round, I think.
Yes.
Textures. please, in 2023, textures. Forget JNCO jeans. It's all about textures.
Maybe some JNCO texture.
Maybe some JNCO texture. Yeah, absolutely. If someone wants to make JNCO texture and sell it on You Work For Them or something like that, Creative Market, absolutely I'll buy it. I don't know what it would be, ultimately, just jean texture, but like a lot of it, like a 72,000 pixel wide JPEG, JNCO texture, PM. So that was a key revision in terms of like getting your portfolio past the finish line.
Yes.
I love those so much. So like once you get through portfolio review, what's your next step?
You know, after that, just kind of continue to go through the program. At one point got a Wacom tablet and was just like, oh, everything should be hand-drawn now.
Were you part of the group that participated in a weird promotional video for Wacom and they gave tablets to, or was that a different?
No,
okay.
I wish.
That was around that era, yeah. I remember.
No, I got like the most entry-level Wacom tablet for Christmas one year and was like, this is going to change my life. And I really only used it to make like pretty shitty digital drawings for about 2 years before I actually started using one like in my day to day.
Well, you had to walk so you could run.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, like at some point, I know in the upper divisions, you ended up in Andy Projects,
yes.
Which is like our sort of in-house studio simulation type class,
mm-hmm.
team-based, collaborative. Service oriented
community building.
Oh, very much so. We build so much community,
yeah.
In there.
Also interact with the actual community.
Absolutely.
That was kind of the coolest part of it for me. It was like, oh, we get to work with like people in Portland instead of just like these imaginary these imaginary projects. This is great.
That is what I like about it the most, that there's actual stakes to things. And
yeah.
It's not just like, oh, your assignment is to make a logo. Well, okay, for who?
Yeah.
This is nobody.
Yeah, and actually, it's crazy.
I was going to say, Annex, it's right there.
Yeah, Annex was, I think it was myself, Hunter Sharp.
Yes. Conrad Crespin, I believe.
Conrad, yeah, started off the Annex zine that is still going to this day, and it's pretty sick to see all the different iterations of it.
Yeah, that was the first. So Annex is like a quarterly kind of student zine that we've been doing out of A&D Projects for years and years. I mean, that was 2015, right?
Yeah.
Brian Zentz created it as a self-initiated project,
yes.
In that class, but then never got to make it because it was just too late in the term, and then he graduated. But like that was the first one that we made, and it's this beautiful like blue and pink and yellow risograph. That was maybe when we first got a risograph here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're doing a lot of Rizzo workshops.
Yeah. So that one, there's a lot of very ambitious Rizzo work in there, and it became this like momentum starter. What was that project like to work on?
That one honestly was like pretty straightforward.
That's surprising to hear.
Well, I took a bit of a back seat in like the actual organization of it and somehow really lucked out in that my main contribution, like I don't even know that I was really like interviewing anyone or like,
oh yeah.
Cause there are interviews with different people in the community that go into this zine, right? And part of it was that you're doing those interviews.
Yeah.
And somehow I got away with just doing this cover and like the promo materials. So really just sticking to like the fun illustrative part of it. Like I was like, yeah, I can make a book cover. Sure. But I don't remember doing a whole lot of actual like editorial layout in that. I was just kind of like, oh yeah, no, we'll print these. I think I stapled a bunch of them together, but for the most part, figured out a way to just do the fun stuff.
I mean, stapling is a very important contribution. I'm not going to lie. We've had so many annexes that just got, you know, like 2 inches from the finish line. And
yeah.
Then it comes time to assemble. And it's like, well, we just have a box of these forever.
I do remember printing hundreds and hundreds of pages in the library.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that one.
To get this first one done.
Oh, yeah. So students here get like 500 free prints every year, which is just like a nonsense amount of printing. So we I think the way that we worked out was just like it was a quarter size letter zine.
Yeah.
And so everybody would print on their own accounts out of those free print credits in the computer labs, and we'd just sort of hack it together. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's not a way to do anything.
Well, I can't believe you guys have different sizes now.
Yeah, they've, I mean, we've had some that are quite big. We did a full-on letter size one at one point, but they're all over the place. Actually, let me show you one of them. This is...
Whoa!
This one, it was done last year. Those. Absolutely, yeah. So it is all loose sheets. It's the deconstructed issue, and all in different colors of paper, and they tile up the backsides make a gigantic poster.
That's sick.
Yeah, it's a really cool idea and very ambitious and it's incredible that it actually happened, because it's like so... It's such a difficult thing to pull off, especially the tiling up part. Like, to make it actually happen is so cool. But yeah, there's some really fun stuff in there. Somebody got tombstones for Anna's commission done on Fiverr, if I recall.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's a really
fun
issue.
This is great. Winter 2022.
I think so. Yes. But yeah, so you're kind of finishing up here. Like, what's sort of the next step for you?
Yeah, so I was at Camp Grizzly for like 6 years,
yeah,
which was really great, eye-opening experience.
Absolutely. I mean, they do some big, like, one of their biggest things is like doing activations.
Yes.
Which is like sort of like when you have like a pop-up event, right?
Yes.
Am I describing that well?
No, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean,
okay,
it's an event that's basically exists to promote either like the launch of a product, yeah, or something,
just
maybe a brand, but typically it'll be to announce a product that's happening.
Yeah. Or some sort of weird collaboration.
Yeah.
Sort of fun thing. Like, I know one of the Arizona iced tea,
yes,
Adidas one was one that definitely jumped out on the page to me.
Yeah. That was one of the crazier projects that I ever got to work on. Yeah, so we shot like a lot of product work for them. I was able to art direct that project and shoot where we shot like several different colorways of this Adidas X Arizona collab that they were doing. You know, built the set, shot it, did a bunch of retouching. And obviously this is a whole team doing this, not just me.
Yeah.
And then ultimately did a pop-up event in New York to celebrate the launch of this shoe. Long story short, the event never happened.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't have any pictures of the actual event on there.
What other stuff did you work on while you were there?
Yes, I worked on that, a Netflix activation.
Is this the Old West Town?
Yeah.
Kind of thing? That was cool.
That was a really fun project where we kind of built out a little Old West Town to kind of mimic the town that shows up in the movie The Harder They Fall, and, you know, worked with like local vendors to have like a pop-up marketplace. There were educational experiences throughout, had like cowboys like giving lasso lessons. They were doing like chain stitch embroidery there.
That sounds great.
Yeah, so it was really cool. I mean, my time at Camp Grizzly kind of, you know, started out working on campaigns, like branding campaigns for footwear and stuff like that. And then towards the second half of it kind of pivoted into working on these activations where you kind of get the communities surrounding these products involved and figure out a way to make like an enjoyable experience for them that they want to share and just kind of get more hype up around those brands.
That can be hard work considering how noisy like everything is. You kind of have to go all out and really build something huge to make an impression.
Yeah, that is one of the cooler things I think that has happened to me. Like, I kind of feel like I accidentally fell into advertising.
I think a lot of graphic designers end up having that same realization.
Yeah, but it was cool. Like, I was honestly was an advertising like minor. Like, I was like, oh, this could be cool.
Yeah, great cross skill set to have.
Yeah, I just didn't have any entryway into that world. Didn't know what it was at all, and just through sheer luck, like, had a friend who was working at Camp Grizzly when it was still a very small studio. They needed some extra help and brought me on, and I was doing just like a lot of production work up front, and then, you know, slowly they let me have more and more leeway, and big shouts out Camp Grizzly. Like, they really let me kind of go all over the place there. But yeah, it's cool to be able to like build these inclusive worlds.
Yeah.
That have so many like layers of detail that people can experience because, and I mean, I think it's really easy to get kind of jaded when working in advertising.
Absolutely. I mean,
but ultimately like it's cool to kind of take a step back and be like, oh my God, like a few thousand people experienced this thing that I had a hand in like helping create.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. That was really cool for me.
And I think that's like one of the more exciting parts about, especially working in like activations, is like, yeah, you are really, and maybe it's just like my spatial brain, like, you know, you are creating this environment that people like get to spend time in and have like real like weird memories made.
Yeah.
And then they go back to their everyday life and it's like normal, but like for the time that they're in this space, like you control every aspect of what they're seeing and experiencing, and that's like so, that's so wild.
it is crazy. And also how like fleeting it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it, you know, it's like you're designing a theme park that's going to exist for like a day.
A weekend, yeah.
Yeah, and that people spend like an hour in there and then they're off. They're off to their lives. But like you have to be as detailed as like the people who are making Disney World are.
Yes. I mean, that's the goal anyways.
especially when you're doing something out of time, like, you know, the Old West town.
Yeah.
Or Arizona Iced Tea World.
Totally. I mean, that was great because I was able to really like tap into my college vaporwave love. And that was kind of a layup for me. Like, it was like, oh, we need to do something with Arizona Iced Tea. And I was like, oh, really?
Yeah.
Let me put together a mood board real quick. I think I have a few ideas.
2014 was peak Arizona Iced Tea aesthetic. Yes. Absolutely. And it that kind of came back around in a weird way.
Yeah.
So that's on a 10-year cycle, unlike the JNCO jeans. JNCO jeans need twice as long to cook.
it's all that extra fabric.
Of course. How many cans of Arizona iced tea could a JNCO jeans soak up? This is an important science experiment that we need to have.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, I feel like the paper towel brands love to advertise stuff like that. But JNCO jeans, maybe this is a benefit of your product. I'm giving you free ideas here.
It's a real pivot.
It's a real pivot. The quicker picker up for JNCO jeans. They're going to soak up stuff anyway because they're dragging on the ground. You may as well advertise the capillary action as an intended design choice. You know, it's like happy accidents, which hopefully is not something that you're soaking up in your JNCO jeans.
JNCO for your happy accident.
Oh, no. please don't sue me, JNCO jeans, for slander. Slander or libel, I forget which one this is. It's one of those, though. Is there any other work that you brought in that you wanted to talk about? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I did bring some stuff from my actual work that, you know, not college work anymore, but it's stuff that like I am proud of, but also like, you know, there's some notes that I mostly brought it in because I had this really funny experience with this specifically where we were doing some key art for some footwear for a footwear company based in Portland.
Uh-huh. I mean, that doesn't really narrow it down as a thing.
But essentially, like, did this project. It was very maximalist, very crazy, a lot of layers.
High energy.
Yeah, very high energy. And, you know, I was, like, pretty proud of it. By the time it was done, I was so glad it was over. We put this campaign out into the world. And then the next season, so like every season, people from this company would come out and say, like, this is kind of what we're trying to achieve for our brand, you know, this upcoming season.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're going through their mood boards and examples of like, oh, this is what kind of what we're trying to hit. This will be cool. And then they got to a page of like do nots and what we don't want to hit. And one of these pictures was an example of, like, this is not what we're trying to hit.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, okay.
in 1 year, you went from the Wired section of Wired to the Tired section of
yes.
Wired.
It was brutal, but honestly, like, it made sense. I was like, yeah, good point.
I don't know. I mean, running shoes are meant to make you run. I feel like that's naturally a very energetic thing, and I feel like this is very energized, so... If they want to have sleepy running shoes, then I guess that's
a good point. I should have stood up in that meeting and been like, "Hey, listen, we're not trying to make sleepy ads.
How dare you? I don't want to see famous basketball star napping. I mean, now that I say it out loud, I do. But
that actually might really be a good.
Maybe not in the shoe ad. I kind of like that. That's an ongoing theme with this show, is that people will bring in work that they don't like, and then I'll say, oh, I actually like that a lot. Good job. Nice work.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, too, is, like, I think it kind of brings it back to what we were talking about earlier, is, like, you need to be able to tailor your work.
Yeah.
And while I do like that, like, isolated and alone, when I see that in a whole campaign, or saw that in a whole campaign, I was like, this is a lot. Like, this is cool. Like, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But for, like, everyone, maybe a little nuts.
Well, that's a great... I mean, learning design is a lot about seeing things through other people's eyes. And
yeah.
Learning to see things through the famous shoe wear company based in Portland, Oregon's eyes is, you know, it's its own thing. Its own special experience. Thank you so much for being here, Rico. This has really been fun to catch up with you.
Thank you for having me.
If people want to find out more about the work that you do and, like, just, you know, see cool stuff, where do they go for the cool stuff?
You can find my portfolio and all my contact info at rico.biz.
That's a great URL.
Can't believe I got it.
You're the only legitimate thing on the .biz TLD.
That's
so
right.
So I appreciate that. We're reclaiming it from 10 million spam sites.
And yeah, I mean, reach out, say what's up if you want to work together or something. But otherwise, if you see me around town, also say what's up.
Yeah, you do really cool work. You are, like, a really skilled art director. And, you know, you've worked on these really cool, huge campaigns. So, yeah, you're awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
I'm going to be holding on to that all day.
I couldn't offer it to a nicer person. I appreciate you so much for being here. So thank you also to you who are listening to this. If this sounds like something that's right up your alley and you're not a subscriber, subscribe to it, by which I mean, like, follow it or whatever. You don't have to pay money to listen to it. If you do, though, please let me know, because I would not turn it down. You can also rate and review it on whatever service that you use. There's all kinds of ways to do that. Even better than any of those, though, you could just tell a friend, some of your IRL friends or digital friends about this show, and spread the word that way. If you want, you can follow the show on Instagram, and you'll sometimes see posts from it there. You can also follow it on Twitter, as long as that continues to be a going concern. Again, looking less and less likely by the day, although it is taking longer than I expected for it to just completely crumble into dust. We are also now on YouTube as well. You can follow the show there. I'm going to maybe start posting some of the images that we post on other social media to that, because I noticed that there's some sort of weird YouTube news feed now. I don't know if anyone else is using it, but why not? I'll try. I'm foolish like that. You can also go, you know, check all that stuff out at dididothat.design. That's our website. So this has been Did I Do That? My name is Sean Schumacher, and as always, we say at the close of every single episode,
did I do that?
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, bye. considering that we are in a closet and can hear trains rattling by on those tracks every like 20 minutes or so, like, it's not bad.
I mean, you're not giving yourself enough credit. Like, I used to make music with my friends like in the closet, and truly, like, the sound quality is infinitely better than like the muffled voices that we were like just talking through, like, no mics with any kind of covers.
Well, I mean, were you making shoegaze music? Because then that might have been an artistic choice.
Unfortunately, no.
Oh.
No. It was okay though. We just covered it up with lots and lots of reverb.
Musician's friend.
Yeah.
That's what they sell at that musician's friend store, is just reverb units.